The interests of children and other vulnerable people will be the first priority of the newly established Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors. The commission was established in March after being announced last December and is currently made up of 8 members, 5 of whom are laypeople. Cardinal Sean Patrick O'Malley of Boston spoke today at a press conference after the commission completed its first 3-day meeting. He said the members spoke about the new institution's nature and purpose and also met with the various Vatican offices dealing with abuse cases. Here is the full press conference, including the opening remarks by Cardinal O'Malley, as well as journalist questions answered by the Cardinal, abuse survivor Marie Collins, and Jesuit Father Hans Zollner.
Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you very much for gathering with us here this afternoon. We're very happy to be able to be with you. The members of the Pontifical Commission, as we begin our service together, we wish to express our heartfelt solidarity with all of the victims, survivors of sexual abuse as children and vulnerable adults, and to share that from the very beginning of our work, we have adopted the principle that the best interests of a child or a vulnerable adult are primary when a decision is made. During our meetings, each of us have been able to share our thoughts, experiences, and our aspirations for this pontifical commission. Responding to our Holy Father's request, these discussions focused on the commission's nature and purpose and on expanding the membership to include people from other geographical areas and other areas of expertise. Our conversations included many proposals for ways in which the commission might collaborate with experts from different areas relating to safeguarding children and vulnerable adults. We have also met with some people from the Roman Curia regarding areas for future cooperation, including representatives from the Secretariat of State, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the Congregation for the Clergy, the Vatican Press Office, and the Vatican Gendarmerie. As an advisory commission to the Holy Father, the fruit of our work will be communicated to Pope Francis. In time, we will propose initiatives to encourage local responsibility around the world and the mutual sharing of best practices for the protection of all minors, including programs for training, education, formation, and responses to abuse. We have also shared with Pope Francis how certain important areas are to us in our future work. We see ensuring accountability in the Church as especially important, including developing means for effective and transparent protocols and processes. We will propose statutes to the Holy Father to express more precisely the Commission's nature, structure, activity, and goals. It is clear, for example, that the Commission will not deal with individual cases of abuse, but we can make recommendations regarding policies for assuring accountability and best practices. In the statutes, we plan to make specific proposals regarding the importance of emphasizing ways for raising awareness of all people regarding the tragic consequences of sexual abuse and of the devastating consequences of not listening, not reporting suspicion of abuse, and failing to support victim survivors and their families. As the Catholic people make our parishes, schools, and institutions safer for all children, we join with people of goodwill in our endeavor to ensure that children and vulnerable adults are protected from abuse. We request the prayers of all who wish to support the work of the Commission. Thank you.
Bene. La parola all'Assemblea per chiedere qualche sviluppo, qualche chiarimento, ulteriori approfondimenti. Potete. Pazzi.
È acceso questo? Paddy Agnew, Irish Times. Question in English, obviously. A couple of weeks ago, the Italian Bishops' Conference issued a statement which it suggested mandatory reporting was not required, but under Italian law. Is your commission going to sort of investigate that and suggest that perhaps that's a mistake?
Those are the kinds of issues that we will address, looking at the guidelines that are existing there to see how they need to be approved. Obviously, accountability should not be dependent upon legal obligations in a country when we have a moral obligation to do reporting.
Yes. Sébastien Maillard from La Croix. You mentioned you wanted to expand the committee. You mentioned you wanted to expand the committee's members from other geographical areas and from other areas of expertise. Have you already agreed on new names or new continents that are not yet represented in your committee? And second question is, when will be your next meeting?
We hope to have the next meeting in the next few months, but our first task is to come up with members. We have surfaced a number of names, and we are still looking for others to represent different parts of the world who are presently not on the committee. So we have some names in hand, and we are looking for others. Of course, it's the Holy Father who will actually appoint the members. But we've been asked to suggest other names to him.
Jacopo Scaramuzzi, Italian press agency TM News. Two questions. The first one, even if you are not going to face singular questions, what could you say us about, for example, the ex-apostolic nuncio Joseph Wozolewski, who was in Dominican Republic and who was recalled to Rome and without knowing very much about this case? And second question, the fact that you met with the Congregation for Doctrine of Faith and Secretary of State and so on, that means that it is not yet clear where this commission will be, if it will be an independent commission, if it will be part of the Congregation for Doctrine of Faith, or so on. Thank you.
Does anybody want to answer any of these? Or? I don't know that any of us have a lot of knowledge about the case of the nuncio beyond what we have read in the newspapers. Obviously, this is a very serious case, and we're hoping that it will be clarified. But as I mentioned originally, the purpose of our committee is not to deal with individual cases. We are still working on the statutes that we will present to the Holy Father. The Holy Father has expressed a desire that this committee have a certain autonomy and independence. This doesn't mean that we might not be associated with one of the dicasteries, but the purposes of our meetings were not so much to talk about the statutes with the other dicasteries, but rather to learn from them some of the questions that they are dealing with and some of the questions that would obviously be our area of interest in this whole area of child protection.
Yes.
Phil Pulella from Reuters for Cardinal O'Malley, and I hope you won't hold the fact that I'm a Boston University graduate against me.
No, we love
Could you expand a little bit, please, on, and then I have a question also for Mrs. Collins. Could you expand on how you what you mean when you say you also shared with Pope Francis how important certain areas are to us in our future work? What other areas? And when you mentioned accountability in the church, again for Cardinal O'Malley, how high up does that go in the church hierarchy? For Marie Collins, I would like to ask you this. On Monday, the Vatican will be in Geneva before the UN Convention on Torture, and there are certain groups that you are well aware of who are trying to equate sexual abuse with torture. And you, as a victim of sexual abuse, how do you feel on what they are trying to do in Geneva on Monday?
I'll try and answer your question. Obviously, our concern about accountability is accountability for everyone in the church, regardless of what their status is. And in the suggestions for protocols that we hope to develop, we will address how these protocols should include everybody and have very clear and transparent ways of dealing with accountability, both in those who perpetrate the crime of sexual abuse and those who are negligent in child protection.
The question re-torture and abuse, as a survivor of child abuse, many survivors would probably say their abuse was torture or equated to torture, but it's an entirely different thing and separate matter altogether from state-sponsored torture, which I think is what has been dealt with by the United Nations. So I don't believe that it is connected in any way to the work that we are doing. It's not up to me to define what is torture or what is not torture.
Nicole Winfield from the Associated Press. Cardinal O'Malley, just a follow-up, please, to Phil's question. Clearly, the white elephant is, are you going to go after or recommend ways to sanction bishops who do not report abuse or who otherwise are not following even their own guidelines? So if you could perhaps elaborate on, are we talking about just applying canon law as it exists today? There are certain canons that could apply to these bishops who are negligent in their work. I note that it doesn't appear that the Congregation for Bishops was among those curial offices that you met with. It would seem that that would be the office that would be most directly involved, since it's not a negligence isn't something that would fall under the CDF, as far as I understand. But and perhaps, Ms. Collins, if you could give us just a sense of your takeaway from this first meeting. Your presence here is obviously of great interest to much of the world. So if you could give us a sense of your meeting with the Pope, your meeting with the other members. Thank you.
Certainly. Obviously, our concern is to make sure that there are clear and effective protocols to deal with situations where superiors in the church have not fulfilled their obligations to protect children. And there are, theoretically, I guess, canons that could apply here, but obviously they have not been sufficient. And so one of the areas that we will deal with is this whole area of accountability and try and develop protocols or suggestions that could lead to an open process, but that would hold people accountable for their responsibility to protect children.
my participation. I'm coming away with a very positive feeling from the meeting. We were all very different, coming from very different perspectives, but we all have the one aim in mind, and that is the better protection of children. And part of that is, as Cardinal O'Malley says, accountability for those who don't protect children. I stated before I came what I was hoping we might address. I'm happy at the moment that I feel the Commission is addressing what I would hope they would address. Obviously, we're just starting the work. You can only achieve a certain amount in 2 days, but I think what we achieved in the 2 days has given us a very good idea of what direction we want to go and what our aims are going to be, and what our not what our final recommendations to the Holy Father would be, but initial decisions. I met the Holy Father yesterday, twice actually, and it was very positive. I was very pleased to meet with him, and he met with the entire commission, and it was not something I ever saw in my future some years ago, but I was very pleased with the opportunity to meet the Holy Father, and I would like to say I know there's many, many survivors around the world who are hoping and have great expectations of this commission. And what I could say so far is you can't make concrete promises, but as a survivor myself, I am hopeful that we are going to achieve what is hoped for. But it's very early days yet.
Gerard O'Connell, The Universe. Cardinal O'Malley, and also for Maria Collins. The Pope spoke at the beginning of the meeting, or at some stage in your meeting, at least from what I've seen in the press, this seems to be. What exactly did the Holy Father say to you or to yours?
No, the Holy Father has not addressed the commission, and I presume that he will do that once we have the full membership. We attended his Mass the other day, and each member of the commission had an opportunity to have an exchange with the Holy Father. And then the following day, we also gathered with him for a lovely photograph that has appeared in the Osservatore Romano. There was not. He did not come to our sessions at this point. My hope is that in future meetings, when we have all of the members appointed and the officers in place, that the Holy Father will join us. So.
A second question: you said a number of names you've brought in from different geographical areas of the world. Have you got some idea in your head what will the commission look like when you filled out the vacancies, and will there be more victims?
We're hoping to have more victim survivors. We're also hoping to have representatives from, like the G8, where we have one person at least from every continent. But we're also aware that too large a number becomes unwieldy. We are hoping, and I've talked about the possibility of having working groups that could work around different topics, and in that way be able to access the expertise of more people in different parts of the world so that their contributions could enrich our suggestions to the Holy Father.
Just to follow up on this question, right now there are 8 members and four of them are women. In the future, do you want to stick to this 50-50 men and women, or is it just a coincidence?
Well, it's the Holy Father who makes the you know, obviously, we think it's very important for the independence of the commission that there be many volunteers on the commission rather than church personnel and lay people, and hopefully more women. But the ultimate decision will be the Holy Father's, and I don't know whether he has a 50-50 formula in mind, or but obviously Holy Father has stated to me that he's very anxious to have this group, you know, be independent, and as I say, that independence comes primarily from the lay people and volunteers who are a part of the commission.
Thank you, Philip.
When you speak of protocols, what kind of timeline do you envision, or would you hope for, after you present these protocols? When do you think you might present them? And then after that, what is going to happen to put them into act and to make them effective and make them actionable, if you will? Are we talking about eventual changes in canon law? Are we talking about juridical changes on a diocesan level there? And I'm just curious, is also, have you, in your various meetings in the Curia here, did you find any maybe passive resistance to what you're trying to do? Or even active.
Or active.
Or even active. And why did you have to meet with the gendarmerie? This is interesting.
Well, you've asked a lot of questions there. Obviously, one thing that the meeting has shown us is how many different issues need to be dealt with and how complex some of these issues are. And so one of our first tasks is going to be to try and prioritize some of these things and make recommendations around those priorities. We have not worked out a time frame yet, but I hope that we will. Everyone is very anxious to have some positive results. One of the reasons that we invited Dr. Johnny to address us was to become aware of what kind of child protection legislation and programs are available in the Vatican City State, because we feel that it's important for the Vatican City to model, by example, the importance and the priority of child protection. And it wasn't that we felt as though we needed bodyguards or something that... I must say that I have not personally experienced resistance, but it's reported to me that there's still many people who don't see this as a problem of the universal church. And this is another reason that we are very anxious to have people from other geographical areas, because in some people's minds, oh, this is an American problem, it's an Irish problem, it's a German problem. No, it's a human problem, and the church needs to face it everywhere in the world. And so a lot of our recommendations are going to have to be around education, because there is so much ignorance around this topic, so much denial, and education is going to be a very important part of the way the church needs to respond and to make the church safe for children and for vulnerable adults.
Hello, Tom Kington from Los Angeles Times. A question for Mary Collins. Recently, Pope Francis, in an interview, said that he thought that the church had been doing a lot more than anyone else to crack down on this problem, and giving the idea that it was a bit unfair to be criticizing the church for what it's doing. Would you agree with that?
I was asked at that time to comment, and I did, and I found difficulty with what he said. But what I would say now is that we're moving forward and not looking back. And if there has been progress, we know that. The problem is the universality of the progress, or the quantity and the quality of the progress. And what the Commission is here to do is to make sure that what happens in the future is going to be worldwide, not patchy in places, and it's going to be of the highest standard. I think the Holy Father had his own reasons for what he said, and I'm sure he believed what he said. And I think the Church has in many countries, there are improvements. I mean, in my own country, in Ireland, we now have good safeguarding policies in place, and even in my own diocese, I think it has a very, very strong child protection office, very strong protocols. So, I mean, what the Holy Father said is true, but it is not universal everywhere, and that is the whole point. It has to be in the whole Church, and there are so many areas, as Cardinal O'Malley has said, where there is still a lot of education needed of those in the Church in the necessity for child protection and the necessity for what they really need to do to protect children properly. So I'm not going to say any more about it. I'm not going to condemn the Pope at this point. I think we're moving forward, and that's the hopeful point for me.
Thank you.
Agnew Irish Times again. Just to follow on from what both of you have just said, there's an element of the Commission calling on everybody to catch up and to get onto the same page on this issue. Is there or is there not? Is there an have you come across a sensation in relation to the question that the thing that Tom just said there now, that answer from the Pope, that was an answer in response to a question which began with, now that the sex abuse crisis is over. That was actually the question. Now that the sex abuse crisis is over. Have you come across people who feel that? Or maybe for some it hasn't even begun?
I think that's true. And that's why I say that a huge effort around education needs to be an immediate response of the Church, because there's a lot of people who think, well, it's limited to certain countries and it's been dealt with, and that way you can move on to something else. And that is that's simply not true. And the Church needs to always be reviewing what we have done, trying to improve what we have done, monitoring what we have done, because it's possible to have beautiful policies, but if they're not implemented, it's only window dressing. And so how the implementation takes place, and then how we monitor ourselves, these are all challenges that are part of child protection moving forward.
Yes.
Could I just add to that? In the Gregorian Symposium 2 years ago, there were many bishops from around the world, and what shocked me most was not any issue of denial or not wanting to face the issue. It was the sincerity of some bishops who felt the problem did not exist in their country and probably wouldn't exist because of their culture. And that was something I felt that they truly believed that. It wasn't that they were trying to deny it. They truly believed it would not happen in their country because it only happened in certain places. And that is the sort of thing where we, talking about education, that all needs to be dealt with.
Bene. Yeah.
Oh, Connell again. For Father Zollner, you had this...
Make him work too.
Yeah. In relation exactly to what you were talking about, the Commission exists now, but the Bishops' Conference around the world, how are you going, will the Commission relate to this, and if so, in what way, and will this be in your protocols? And secondly, The feedback from the bishops' conference, have they all now got procedures in place?
I can try to reply to those questions, but I'm not probably in the right person to reply in depth to the two questions. First, I can't reply to the first question in depth because we don't have statutes now and we don't know how we would relate to bishops' conferences as a commission. The understanding I have is that we give recommendations to the Holy Father and from there a feedback could be given to the bishops' conferences. How this is going to work, that is exactly still open to definition. As Cardinal said, we work on those statutes and they will have to be approved, but this can only be done as soon as we have the commission completed, and then only we can have statutes. And then only we could work on some proposals. I found a slight misunderstanding perhaps also in that question about our protocols or guidelines. We won't propose guidelines. We won't propose perhaps amendments to guidelines. And the second question, as far as I know, I'm not an official at the Congregation for Doctrine, but as far as I know, almost all of the bishops' conferences have reported back. They are supposed to receive amendments or proposals to revision and then send back the amended guidelines. How far this process has gone, I'm not aware of, but I know that almost all bishops' conferences have sent in. And it has very often been stated that there are those who have not sent in are very few from a very specific area, which is in French-speaking Africa, Western Africa. But the rest of the world is, as far as I know, covered.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think the last question.
Earlier on, Cardinal O'Malley, you said that in reference to Paddy's question about the Italian bishops, you said that... You might have a problem with what they decided recently vis-a-vis reporting. Could it be therefore that you're going to look at these decisions that are coming in from the bishops' conferences, and you might turn around and say, "That's not good enough. Sorry, you're just going to have to rewrite that." Could you see that happening?
Well, we will, as I say, try to come up with protocols that. Need to be in policies to make them effective. But our recommendations will be to the Holy Father, and if he wishes directly to some of the bishops' conferences. We do hope to be able to study some of the policies that have been developed for different bishops' conferences, and even to be able to have some sort of a direct link with those conferences so that we can be of service to them. We're very aware of the fact that in many dioceses, and particularly missionary dioceses, they have so little resources. And this is also a problem that we need to be able to look at that and to be able to make recommendations of how the church might address that. I had a meeting 2 years ago, I think it was, with all the Capuchin bishops in the world, and most of them are in the missions. And I addressed them on the need for good policies and you know, when you talk to some of these missionary bishops that have practically no resources whatsoever. Even my own experience, as I began as a bishop in the West Indies, my annual budget was $30,000 a year. You know, and So we also have to look at ways that the Holy See and the Church in general can give the kind of support to dioceses throughout the world so that they can have good, not only good policies, but be able to have educational programs and the kinds of child protection services that that we're calling for the Universal Church.
Well, thank you for participating in this this meeting. I think we have some first ideas, and we wish good work for the Commission. And we hope to have in some months a new meeting and a new briefing with you and maybe other members of the of the Commission. Thank you very much. Arrivederci.